Did you ever have a frustrating day? Is there anybody here who has not had a frustrating day at least once in your life? How many of you have frustrating days every day of your life? Yeah, or at least frustrating moments in every day of your life? Well, it just may interest you to know that in the passage of Scripture that Paul read to you this morning, the passage he just read from the Bible, the disciples were having one of them frustrating days. Mm-hmm. And it was frustrating to them for several reasons. Number one, Jesus had gone off and left them alone. If you remember, in the verses that immediately precede this one, it explains that Jesus had gone off up on the mountain with Peter and James and John to pray. It was a story we dealt with last week where they saw Jesus transfigured. They looked into the kingdom of God. Remember all that? But Jesus had been up there on that mountain, the scripture says, for a full day. The implication is that the transfiguration lasted for a full 24 hours, a whole cycle, one day. And for that whole day, Jesus had left the disciples, except for those three, alone. And to make matters worse, Jesus and the other three had been gone for a full day. I don't want you to miss that one. Okay, got it? And while Jesus had been gone for a full day, a crowd had gathered, number two. In Jesus' absence, a crowd of people had come looking for Jesus. But Jesus wasn't there. On the mountain with those other three guys. I mean, this presented questions, problems. What were they supposed to do with these people? They didn't want to see them. They had come to see Jesus. And since the people were looking for Jesus, what were they supposed to tell them about Jesus? Were they allowed to say he's up on the mountain or weren't they? What could they tell the people who came to see Jesus? And by the way, where was Jesus? It was a confusing situation for them. It was overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed with responsibility. And it had all been dumped on them by Jesus. And then number three, this man came to them. He was the father of a little boy. The little boy was his only child, which heightens the tension of the situation. And this little kid had a huge physical dash spiritual problem. See, a spirit had taken control of his body, and frequently the spirit threw the kid down in convulsions and made him scream, and as he rolled around on the ground, he foamed at the mouth. Clearly, the spirit that had hold of the little boy was destroying the boy's life, and with the boy's life being destroyed, the father's life was falling apart too. The father came looking for Jesus. He was up on the mountain praying. He came hoping that Jesus was going to help his little boy. But when Jesus could not be found, the boy's father turned to the disciples. And you will remember that just a few days before this, Jesus had sent the disciples out on their own to try their wings in misery. I'm having trouble here. In ministry. Which could have been misery. It's a Freudian slip. Got it, okay? The story about them being sent out in ministry is told in the opening chapters of verses of the very chapter of Scripture that we are dealing with. It's all part of the same piece of Scripture. And you will remember that when the disciples went out on their own, they confronted evil spirits, spirits exactly like the one that possessed that little boy. And when they confronted them, the spirits obeyed them. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 6. They had confronted spirits like the one that controlled that boy's body, and those spirits had obeyed them. But on this day, the spirit would not cooperate. though they tried repeatedly, the spirit refused to give up control of the boy. In essence, the spirit mocked their authority. It refused to listen to them. Though just a few days before they had been able to cast out such spirits, in Jesus' absence on this day, the spirit refused to do what they told it to do. It would not leave. And as a result of all that, the disciples were frustrated. They were embarrassed. They were confused. Why could they not do then what they had just done the day before? Why was this spirit, the one in this kid, so obstinate? And the boy's father was beside himself. Why were these men torturing his kid? Why were they submitting him to all this nonsense? If they couldn't help, why didn't they just say so? And where was this Jesus anyway? That's who he came to see. It was one big mess. Ever been there? I don't even need to point out the obvious to you, do you? There are times when we're all just like that, in a big mess, frustrated. We all face days exactly like that one. In the words of the song we so like to sing, when we come to the end of our hoarded resources, and it all falls apart before our eyes, and we don't know why, when our strength is gone and our minds cannot cope, the very thing that we did yesterday that worked won't work today. Oh, we start singing another song, don't we? I am weary and tired and worn. Those are the days when Jesus does not seem to be around. And we want to know just where he has gone. Life has those moments for all of us. Just as it did for Jesus' first disciples. You know that. Because you have lived that. Want to know what's going on. But it was at that very moment, folks, when hope was gone and all seemed utterly lost. It was at that very moment that Jesus came down from the mountain. Just when they needed him most, Jesus came down from the mountain. That's how it is. That's how it always will be. Just at the moment of despair, when we are hopelessly lost in confusion and frustration, Jesus comes down from the mountain. Oh my, look up right now. See him? Here he comes. Right now, just when we need him most, Jesus is coming down from the mountain. Jesus comes just when we, didn't you want to sing it? Just when we need him most. Don't ever forget it. When life's crushing in and you are facing one of those days and wondering where Jesus is, you look up. Because at the moment of despair, when there is no other hope, you'll see him coming down from the mountain. Now on that day, when the disciples saw Jesus coming down from the mountain, oh, did they breathe a sigh of relief. For the Master had come down from the mountain. And when that little boy's father saw Jesus coming, his hope was restored, for Jesus had come down from the mountain. And oh my, hope is restored whenever Jesus comes down from the mountain. Oh, folks, just look at what Jesus did when he came down from the mountain. First thing he did is that he supplied what the disciples lacked. To be honest, that was their problem in the first place. I told you this several weeks ago. The disciples thought they could do it by themselves. They thought that all they needed was what they had. They were confident and secure. They could carry it off. They thought that they could do it without Jesus. But what they needed to do was what they could only do in and through Jesus. Oh, how often that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? I mean, we get our eyes off him. We get our eyes fixed on us. We think we're hot stuff. We come to the conclusion that we can make it on our own. If Jesus ain't here, too bad for him. I don't need him. Yes, wrong. It's always wrong. Okay, but thank God Jesus came down from the mountain, because when Jesus came down from the mountain, he gave them what they lacked. And then, when he came down from the mountain, Jesus took charge. Now, I just want you to know that the disciples were at that moment ready to turn things over to Jesus. Really, honestly, they had flopped. It was a huge failure, okay? And they were frustrated, confused, desperate, without hope. It was out of control. And when he got there, then they were willing to turn it over to Jesus. Now, can I preach here a little bit? Does that not happen to us? Don't we wait until the last moment? Don't we have to be forced to the moment when we recognize that we don't have what it takes? Are we not often at the place where we're exhausted before we ever think we need God? Okay? And then we wonder why he has to push us to that place. Because we won't look to him until he pushes us there. So he lets us wander our way into frustration and confusion. And then he comes down from the mountain. They had already failed. But I got to tell you that the spirit they faced was indeed a bold one. And some of them are. That spirit had managed to intimidate and humiliate the disciples of Jesus Christ. He was bold. And then, when Jesus came, that spirit thought he might be able to intimidate Jesus too. So when Jesus commanded the spirit to come out of the little boy, the spirit seized the boy in front of Jesus, made the boy go into a fit, fall down and convulse on the ground and foam at the mouth and scream. But you look at it, and you see him standing there as calm as can be. Jesus was not daunted by that bold spirit. He took charge of it. And though it fought him, he forced it to surrender. Now, folks, the spirit could not prevail because Jesus had come down from the mountain. You know those problems which persist in your life? You know those things that won't let go of you, that are driving you crazy as you sit here today? You all know all that stuff that's bothering you, and you can't make it go away, and the Spirit looks you in the eye and goes, whenever you try, you know that stuff? It's because you can't handle it on your own. You don't have the stuff. You need to bring Jesus down from the mountain. And when you do, He'll supply what you lack. He'll take charge. And that Spirit will surrender. It has to. Because, folks, He is Jesus. But I want you to notice that when He came down from the mountain that day, Jesus kept His focus on the main thing. I told you that last week everything changed from that moment of transfiguration on, and that Jesus' eyes were set on what was before Him, and it happens again. It's a great moment. The Spirit bends. It goes away. The boy is cured. But Jesus doesn't hang there. He doesn't celebrate that. His eyes are focused on one thing. He pointed them to the great moment which was just ahead. The moment when He would be betrayed and die at the hands of men. He pointed to the moment when His body would be still and lifeless and put in a tomb dead. I mean, how bad can it get? Jesus, dead. He wanted them to know that no matter what the odds, no matter how frustrating the circumstances, He wanted them to know that no matter how bad it seemed or how bad it might get, they had nothing to fear. For no matter what, when the time was tough, Jesus would come down from the mountain. Oh, see Him today sitting at the right hand of God the Father on His throne in heaven. And know what He wants you to know. That you do not need to be afraid. No matter what you face, you don't need to be afraid, for He will come down from the mountain. You think you're afraid? Are you overwhelmed, frustrated? Are you tired and weary and worn? Up. Just when you need Him most, Jesus will come down from the mountain.